Thank you for joining me today. Well, we are 1 month into a new year. So the new year has begun. And I'm reminded of the fact that we are 1 year closer to the day of our death, or the day that the Lord returns. And that day, in that day, when it comes, we will stand before the Lord in judgment. It's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 10. That day, when he will either say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God, prepared for you from the foundation of the world," Matthew 25 and verse 34, or what he says in the next few verses in verse 41 of Matthew 25, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So since we are 1 year closer to that day when our final destiny will be forever determined, I want to use this opportunity to stir up your thinking as to how you have used the past year, to suggest some resolutions for this coming year. And you might say, "Well, I've already made my resolutions." My goal here is to encourage us to make better use of the time that we have left here while on this earth, and to help prepare us for the day of reckoning that awaits all of us. So I want to begin then by asking about this past year. Has our relationship with God and Christ improved? Have we drawn nearer to God? James 4 and verse 8. Bearing in mind that a close relationship depends upon good communication. So have we been faithful in listening to God through His Word? Another year has gone by. Did we read through the Bible this year? Did we even pick up the Bible and read it? Or did we only read when it was time for Bible class? And if we didn't do that, and especially if we've never read it, can we honestly say that we're taking our relationship with God very seriously? Another question, have we been steadfast or fervent in talking to God in prayer this past year? Any effective communication requires a two-way street. So, fervent Bible study needs to be joined with fervent prayer. Now, has our degree of prayerfulness increased or decreased this past year? Another question is, has our relationship with our brethren improved? Has our love for one another increased this past year? Well, this past year, we had COVID-19. And we didn't want to be around everybody. We were told to socially distance from people and wear a mask. Don't shake hands. Don't be close. But the Bible tells us that we're to have that close relationship, that we are to have a love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. So are we any closer to one another than we were a year ago? Have we been in our brethren's homes? Have we checked on them? Have any of them been in your home? Do we even know who our brethren are? Each year brings new members into the family of God. Did we make an effort to get to know them? Do we even know their names? Another question is, has our relationship with those in the world improved? As people of God, we have an important responsibility toward those in the world. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, he would tell us that we need to be the light of the world, and that we need to be the salt of the earth. And what he means by that is that we are to be a positive influence on the people in the world. You are the salt of the earth. And we're to demonstrate that through our lives and through his life and serving him, that we are the light of the world, that there is a better way. Have we made progress this year in developing meaningful relationships with people in the world? The reason for that is so they can see Christ living in our lives, and so the gospel of Christ can be communicated to them. Or are we like most neighbors in this day and age? We live next door to each other and really don't know who they are. You know, we seem to have forgotten the lost art of simple Southern hospitality. Just throwing up your hand to speak to people. These questions that I'm raising can be summarized in this way. Another year has gone by. Have we made good use of the time that the Lord has given us, or have we wasted it? It's likely that all of us in some degree have not made good use of the past year. But it's at this point that we need to apply the words of Paul that he wrote in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Here he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So, you know, with this attitude of pressing forward, I want to suggest a few resolutions that we could apply to our lives. As we look forward in 2021, the year ahead, why don't we resolve to draw nearer to God and to Christ? We could have a daily Bible program of reading God's living and abiding Word, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We could read the Old Testament this year. It's what Paul talks about in Romans 15 and verse 4, that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we could have hope. And Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that all of God's Word is God-breathed. It is inspired by God, and it's profitable for every aspect of our lives. We could also read the New Testament. Are we going to resolve to be nearer to God and Christ by being more diligent to pray? Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And we need to be thankful, a thankful people. We need to be rejoicing always. I know 2020 has been a rough year. I have attended more funerals than I care to admit to. I have preached more funerals than I care to admit to. And it doesn't seem that they're stopping. But we need to be thankful people because we have a loving God in our lives. Maybe Daniel's custom of praying three times a day would be worthy of us imitating. That's what we read of in Daniel 6 and verse 10. Another resolution would be to become closer to the brethren. Now I know we can't associate, we can't assemble that much, but we can make it a point to learn everyone's name, get a directory at church, and each week contact a couple of names and faces until you learn them all. Make contact with them by phone, text message, Facebook, whatever. And by having a different person or family that you make contact with each month or each week, you could have them into your home on a limited basis. It doesn't have to be a fancy meal. Bring them in and just sit around the table with coffee and dessert. Just a simple visit so that you can become better acquainted with the members that you have as a spiritual family. Or by visiting a different person or family each month. It might not always be convenient to have people in your home, but you can arrange to visit them in their home. If you're alone, take someone with you. We need to resolve to also get to know non-Christians better. By having one new neighbor or co-worker in our home each month, you know, Galatians 6 and verse 10 tells us to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But do good to all men. You need to get to know those people that you work with, your neighbor. We could visit them or have them visit us, or just have meat for coffee and ice cream, or ice cream and dessert, or whatever. It doesn't have to be a fancy or formal visit. It's amazing how far simple hospitality is, and neighborly kindness, how far it can go to build a meaningful relationship. And these opportunities can create more opportunities to share the gospel. These resolutions that I've suggested may sound too simple, but they can be challenging. If we put them to use in our lives, they could go a long way to produce the kind of lifestyle that is becoming of a Christian. They could go a long way to increase our relationship with God, to make it closer, not only with God, but our brethren and those that are lost in this world. And that will bless our lives. And that will be a blessing not only to the church, but to the community as well. And it will create a clearer conscience next year at this time. Time is a precious commodity given to us by God. And it really is like a vapor that James describes in James 4, verses 13 through 15. And Paul truly tells us in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, that we need to be careful and redeem the time wisely. And I hope these suggestions for resolutions for a new year will help you in making better use of your time. I want to read a poem to you as we close out. A new year, a new beginning. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You can't relive the year that's past, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things will still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill, but know that God walks at your side if you will do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to Him. If you are not a Christian, or you are a child of God that has gone back into the world, you need to make the best use of the time that you have that's left on this earth. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, and we'll leave with this verse. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, I want to thank you for joining me today. If you have any questions about what we've taught here or any other lessons, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on the Eastside Church of Christ Facebook. You can go to our website, churchateastside.com, and listen to this again, or listen to any other lessons that we have recorded on there. You can read bulletin articles on our website. Again, thank you for joining me, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday morning.